नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे नमो महाविदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेमा प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामने गौरक्षे नमः पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशक्तिकं हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपीशा गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Okay, so welcome everyone for our this Friday evening program. As you know, we have been covering this Bhagavad Gita 7-session series called Journey of Self-Discovery. And we are into the 5th session now. So we started with search for happiness, how to attain real happiness, what are the real problems of life, and then does God really exist? Can we prove the existence of God scientifically, logically? So next one was, if God does exist, who is God? So that again, with reference to scriptures, various authorities, how we define who is God, because in Hinduism especially we say there are 33 crore Devi Devata. So is all everyone same, is everyone equal, or there is one supreme? And if there is one supreme, then what is the relation of all those 33 crore with each other or with the supreme? And after discussing who is God, the next topic we discussed was, who am I? Right? What is my position? What is my role in this whole creation? What is my relationship with that supreme Lord? So we discussed that topic in the last session. And now coming to the first question itself, as the purpose of human life is to inquire, atato brahma jigyasa, after gaining the human form of life, we should inquire. And the first and foremost inquiry is why there is suffering. I do not want to suffer. Why is this miseries or sufferings imposed upon me? Is there a way to get rid of these sufferings, to get out of this cycle of all these miserable conditions, birth, death, old age, disease, or the natural calamities? So, in first place, why there is suffering? And why do I suffer? Sometimes we see people come up with this very challenging questions. Either we have come across this question, we may have asked this question ourselves, or somebody may have raised that question. I have done nothing wrong in my life. I am such a good person. Why me? Why I have to suffer? Why there is suffering? Anybody has come across this question? Any of you have asked this question in your lifetime ever? So most of us has asked this question. Either consciously or unconsciously, we have maybe said this phrase, why me? Why there is suffering? Why me? Why I have to suffer? What did I do wrong? So this is one of the challenging questions. Is the suffering imposed upon us is just whimsical, that, or is there something behind that whole program going on? Throughout our life, there are so many situations we see sometime a student may be very sincere studying throughout the year. He or she may have done studies throughout the year very nicely, but at the end of the year, during final exams, barely passes the exam, or maybe sometimes fails also. On the contrary, there may be some other student who enjoyed throughout the year, bunks the classes, doesn't study much, doesn't finish the assignments or homework on time, just studies maybe a few hours or 1 or 2 days before final exam, and he gets very great marks. So there are always these kind of situations in life. Somebody may be having problem with job, maybe he loses his job or doesn't get promotion, he may be trying for promotion for a long time, doesn't get enough raise or promotion. On the contrary, somebody else who doesn't do his work properly, he may get the promotion. So again, question comes, the person may ask, why me? Why I did not get that? What did I do wrong? So all these situations, somebody may say, oh, see, I did so hard work. I worked so hard in the office from morning 8 to 6 o'clock. I spent so much time, extra effort to do some extra assignments. And this other guy, he is always buttering the boss, doesn't do his work, just do chamchagiri, and he got the promotion. So we are kind of bombarded with this kind of either thoughts or questions. So I guess all of us, some point of time in our life, may have raised this question. Why all this thing happened? Why there is suffering? And why me? What did I do wrong? So if you have asked this question, you are not the first one to ask this question. In the history, there have been many, many great personalities who have raised this question. How many of you know Charles Darwin? Anybody not familiar with Charles Darwin? So, what is the history of Charles Darwin? So, let me tell you a little bit about him if you don't know. So, Charles Darwin, we know his theory of evolution, the origin of species. So, but in his earlier part of his life, even though he was working on his research and all, but he was a devout Christian. And his wife, Emma, she was a devout Christian. And this person, he used to preach the gospel of Christianity, gospel of God. He had his doubts in his mind. He had some questions, some doubts, but he was believer in God and he followed the principle or whatever scripture he was following. And he had few kids, and his eldest daughter, Annie, she got a disease when she was about 10 years old and she died out of that disease. And at that time, he seriously started questioning the fundamental principles that I have been such a good person throughout my life. I am practicing, I am believing in God. Why did this happen to me? Why did my daughter die at such an early age? Why? What did I do wrong? Or what did she do wrong? So he started questioning all these things. Maybe God does not exist. Maybe God is not powerful. Maybe he doesn't love all his children. And at that point of time, he completely went opposite. So he, based on his research work, so this is sometimes happens. When something wrong happens to us and we lose faith in God, sometimes people become completely atheist and becoming even as a challenging spirit. You did something wrong to me. Now I will make sure nobody believes in you. Tune meri duniya ujari, main duniya se tumhara namo nishan mita dunga. There have been so many movie dialogues also like that. See, tumne meri duniya ujari, main tumhara namo nishan mita dunga. So he also became like that. He started challenging the principles or belief in God, that God does not exist. And he was already doing his research work, and that is from where his fundamental principle came, the origin of species. There is no God in control, there is no God exists. Everything comes by chance. The life originated with the combination of some chemicals. This is how the first living entity, the amoeba, came up, and from amoeba some combination, some original species, the species started, and from that the transformation of species as a theory of evolution. So he kind of started on a campaign to prove that God does not exist. There is no God. Everything happens by chance. And there is a similar, another story. So the title we took from this topic, When Bad Things Happen to Good People. This is the title of a book written by Harold Kushner. So he was also a Christian priest. Similar background, similar story. So he was a Christian priest. His son got a disease called progeria. Anybody familiar with that disease? What does that disease mean?
Age, pretty much.
So the person start aging very rapidly. As a 6-year-old child, he looks like a 60-year-old person, 6-year-old child. So by the time this child grows 9, 10, he looks like a 90, 100 years old and just dies. So anybody familiar with Pa movie? The same concept they showed in that movie. So his son got this particular disease and he, at an age of 9-year-old, looking like a 90, 100-year-old person, he died. And this person started questioning the fundamentals. Why did this happen to me? I'm such a good person. I believe in existence of God and in God's power. Why did this happen to me? So in Christianity, the God is attributed with few principles or few qualities. One is, God is all-knowing. Second is, God is all-loving. Third is, God is all-powerful. So the first attribute, God is all-knowing. He knows everything. So he thought, if God is all-knowing, he should be knowing that but this is going to happen to my son. So if he knew, he should have done something. Why he didn't do anything? Maybe he does not know everything. But no, God is all-knowing. He is omnipresent, omnipotent. So if he is all-knowing, second attribute is God is all-loving. So maybe he is all-knowing, but maybe he is not all-loving. He knew something bad is going to happen, but he did not care. So he does not love. But no, God is all-loving. So maybe he is not all-powerful. He knew everything. He is all-loving. He wanted to do something, but maybe things were not in his control. Maybe things went out of his control. There is something other, more powerful than God, because of which some evil happens. So this is what is the outcome of this book. Either God is maybe not all-knowing. If he is all-knowing, maybe he is not all-loving. If he is all-loving, maybe he is not all-powerful. There is some other higher powerful force, something evil force, they refer to as Satan. Right? We call Shaitan. The word in English or in their terminology, they use as Satan. So there is something evil force which becomes more powerful than God. Things go out of control of God, and even if God wants to do something, sometimes he becomes helpless. He cannot help, he cannot do. So that is the conclusion. But why there is suffering, why there is evil in this world, in based on our Vedic scriptures also, we say God is all loving, God is all powerful, he is present, he knows past, present and future, he is the most powerful. Even not a blade of grass moves without the will of God. So why there is problems in this material world? Why there is evil? So when something wrong goes in our life, we are challenged with this question. So there is another story. There is another person who challenged the law of God. Why this happened to me? How many of you know Vidura from Mahabharata? Everybody knows Vidura. Who is Vidura? So who is Vidura? So okay, in the pastime of Mahabharata, he is brother of Dhritarashtra and Pandu. But in his real Savrupa, in real sense, who is Vidura? So Vidura, in his real Savrupa, he is Yamaraj. Okay, so how he became Vidura, there is a nice pastime behind that, nice story behind that. So once there was a sage called Mandvaka Rishi. So he was doing a lot of austerity, great sage. And while he was engaged in his meditation, few thieves, they stole from king's palace. And they ran into the forest, they came to Mandvaka Rishi's ashram. Mandvaka Rishi was completely absorbed in his meditation. He did not pay attention. So these thieves went into his hermitage they put all the stolen things in one corner in his hermitage and they ran away from the backside. And the soldiers of the king, they were also chasing. So while chasing them, they also reached that spot. They saw this person sitting in some meditation. So they asked him, did you see any thieves coming from here? He was absorbed in his meditation, did not answer. The soldiers went into the hermitage. They found all the stolen items hiding in one place there. So they came back. They thought this person must be the leader of all these thieves. This person is now pretending to doing some kind of austerity meditation. Maybe he is the leader of these thieves. Let's catch this person and take him to the king. So they caught Mandvaka Rishi, brought him to the king. And they said, this person is the leader of those thieves who had a theft in your palace. So you should punish him. So the king, without hearing anything, without understanding the situation, he said, okay, punish this person. Put him to the suli. Now, what is the system of suli? At that time, at the olden time, what is suli means? So in the modern time, we say hang till death. Well, hang is, that's called fansi. That's not suli actually. So suli comes from the word shul, thorn. So what they do is, if you can look in the picture also, so there is a big rod. So it's kind of grounded in the ground and it has a very sharp tip at the top. So put on shuli means they put that person on top of that sharp rod. And by the weight of that person itself, it will be still slowly, slowly piercing through that and slowly, slowly keep going down. And that shul, that sharp nail-like tip portion will come from the top of the head. So he will die based on that, by piercing of this thing. That is called shuli. So in the olden time, that was the method of punishment. So the king said, put him on shuli. And the soldiers, they took Mandvaka Rishi, made him sit on that shul. But based on his mystic power, he did not let the shul pass through his body. Just kept sitting on that. So he got a little piercing feeling, but nothing major happened. The shul did not go through his body. So after a long time, the soldiers said, nothing is happening. They approached the king. See, this person, nothing is happening to him. Maybe really he is some kind of a mystic person. Some mystic powers. So the king finally came running. He said, please forgive me, I did not know. My soldier said, you are the leader of the thieves and I did not inquire enough. So it's my fault. So they put him down and king asked for forgiveness. And this Mandvaka Rishi said, I am not upset with you. This is not your fault. You were doing your duty. But there is somebody who is taking the account of all these bad and good of everybody's account. And that is Yamaraj. And Yamaraj makes arrangement for whatever good or bad somebody has to experience. So he challenged Yamaraj. He approached Yamaraj, went to Yampuri, and he challenged him, why did this happen to me? The same question. Okay? I have never done anything wrong. Why did this happen to me? Why I was put into this situation that I had to experience this sharp object? So Yamaraj said, when you were a small child, you were playing in the garden, you took a thorn kind of object and you were kind of piercing in the body of an ant, and the ant was feeling that piercing. So because you made that living entity, that ant, experience that thing, that suffering, you had to experience that as a reaction to that. So nothing happens whimsically. And then this Mandvaka Rishi said, see, you don't know how to do the judgment. He challenged Yamaraj, you don't know how to make the judgment. I was a small child, I did not know anything. Whatever somebody has done as an innocent person, why he has to suffer the reaction? So you don't know how to make judgment. And I curse you that you take birth as a Shudra, where you will try to make the peace, but all the efforts will be nullified. You will not be able to succeed in all your effort. So Yamaraj accepted that curse, even though it was not his fault at all. He had done the judgment, but he accepted the curse of Mandvaka Rishi. Why? Because he is devotee of the Supreme Lord, as we discussed in that topic, one god, many god, all these demigods, they are all devotees of the Supreme Lord. So Yamaraj, he is also a devotee, a very sincere devotee, topmost, among the topmost devotees of Krishna. So he said, Lord is going to appear, descend himself. This is a nice opportunity for me to take part in his Leela. So he appeared as the son of a maidservant. Okay? So this was Vidura, who in original Savarup is Yamaraj. So he was born as Vidura. He tried to make peace between Pandavas and Kauravas, but nobody never heard of him. So this is another pastime. Why me? Why did this happen to me? And all these situations come in our life too. So many times we raise the same question. Anything goes wrong, why me? Why did this happen to me? Somebody had to suffer some particular thing. Something happened in the family. The common phrase comes up is, see, what did God do? भगवान ने हमारे ऊपर दुखों का पहाड़ तोड़ दिया. भगवान ने हमें इतना दुख दिखा दिया. So we come with that phrase, that question. There is a one very nice movie song, okay? Old movie song. I don't know what movie is. I just happened to kind of hear some of the lyrics. It says, so it's again as a putting a blame on God, that why God did this. दुनिया बनाने वाले तेरे मन में ये क्या आई, काहे को तूने ये दुनिया बनाई. Some people may have heard this song.
Yes.
Probably saying yes. Maybe his favorite song also. So दुनिया बनाने वाले तेरे मन में ये क्या आई, काहे को तूने ये दुनिया बनाई, काहे बनाए तूने माटी के पुतले, धरती ये प्यारी प्यारी, मुखड़े ये उजले. काहे बनाया तूने दुनिया का खेला, जिसमें लगाया जवानी का मेला, गुपचुप तमाशा देखे बाहर है तेरी खुदाई, काहे को तूने ये दुनिया बनाई. सो व्हाट इज दिस लिरिक्स इज, इट्स काइंड ऑफ एज एन एलिगेशन टू गॉड. फर्स्ट प्लेस व्हाई डिड यू क्रिएट दिस मटेरियल वर्ल्ड, एंड इफ यू क्रिएटेड दिस, व्हाई हैड यू हैड टू पुट सम सफरिंग इन दिस, आफ्टर मेकिंग ऑल दिस ह्यूमन बीइंग्स, गिविंग देम द फीलिंग्स, इमोशंस. Why you had to create this suffering? And now, after doing all that, you are sitting at one place and just as a mock spectator, you are just watching this whole thing going on, all this suffering going on in this world. You are patiently watching and enjoying. Gupchup tamasha dekhe. So now, is it really like that God is, as a mock spectator, he is just watching all this suffering going on in this material world. He is keeping quiet and enjoying people killing each other, people exploiting each other, hurting each other and suffering? Is he just enjoying sitting in his place somewhere? It's like, if you may have seen, sometimes people have to chicken fight or to goats fight. Kabhi-kabhi, hota hai in, again, old time, maybe 10, 20, 30 years back in villages, maybe still now also in some villages, people do some chicken fight. Murgon ka ladate hain aur bakron ko ladate hain. And when they fight, some one chicken comes, flies and hurt the other one with his jaws or something. And the other party, they are enjoying. See, mere murge ne tere murge ko hara diya. Mere bakre ne tere bakre ko hara diya. So people are enjoying. And sometimes what they do is they put some sharp object, like a knife kind of object, in the tie with the foot, so that they will go and hurt the other side, the other chicken or other goat. And when the blood comes out from the other animal, people are just watching and enjoying. So is it God like that? That God is just sitting in his place and watching all this suffering going on in this material world as a mock spectator, and he is enjoying all this people suffering. And when some problem comes in life, we put blame on God. Again, some nice movie dialogues. Aaj khush to bahut ho gaye tum. Anybody has heard that dialogue? See, people sometimes in movies, this or the actor, when there is a lot of problems in the life, they go to the temple and then do this dialogue delivery in front of God. Aaj khush to bahut ho gaye tum. So like, are you a god or stone sitting in one place? Don't you know I am having so many problems in my life? Can't you do anything? Are you just sitting and watching and enjoying? That's what people think sometimes when this problem comes, and people completely sometimes become atheist with all this kind of mindset, thought process. Sometimes we think God is all powerful, so He should remove all problems from my life. He is all powerful, He is capable of fixing all the problems. But maybe God is not intelligent enough. He doesn't know I have this problem or I need this particular thing. So maybe I should, let me tell God that I have this problem, please fix this problem, or I need this thing, please give me this thing. So maybe God doesn't know, He is not intelligent enough what is good for me or what is bad for me, really bad for me. So maybe let me tell Him, and He should use His power, He should use His magic wand and fix all the things in my life and make my life very peaceful, happy, everything. So like that, there was a... See, right now I'm just doing a building up on the process. We have not even come to the point yet. Everybody know Titanic? So when the Titanic ship was built, and when the Titanic ship was to go on its first journey, see, a lot of people wanted to go on the first Titanic voyage. And people had worked so hard to manage enough money to buy the ticket. So there was one farmer family called Mr. Cardwell's. Mr. Cardwell is a farmer family. So he also wanted to take his family on this first Titanic voyage. He worked very hard, saved enough money. But just 2 days before the ship was to sail, this farmer's little son got bit by a dog. At that time, when somebody is bitten by a dog, so there is no medicines at that time what we have right now. So there is a fear of getting rabies. So the doctors did not, they have to keep him under observation. They did not give him a medical clearance to travel. So ultimately he was not able to get medical clearance and was not able to get on to this ship for its first journey, first voyage. So this person was so mad, he started blaspheming God like anything. You could not see my happiness. आपसे हमारी खुशी देखी नहीं गई. इतना मेहनत करके, इतना पैसा तो हमें बचा के हमने ये टिकट खरीदा, और जाने से पहले आपने हमारे बच्चे को कुत्ते से कटवा दिया. हमारा ही बच्चा मिला था कुत्ते से कटवाने के लिए. So he started kind of blaspheming on God. And so this ship went on its journey. 2 days later, this news came. Titanic sank. Okay? On its very first journey. Now the same person who was kind of challenging God, blaspheming God, now he is thanking God. धन्यवाद, थैंक यू वेरी मच, आपने जो किया अच्छा किया, बच्चे को कुत्ते से कटवा दिया, अच्छा किया हम नहीं जा पाए शिप पे. सी नाउ वी आर सेफ, एटलीस्ट आवर लाइफ इज सेफ. सो नाउ बट अदर पर्सन अर्लियर हु मे बी थैंकिंग गॉड, ओ यू मेड दिस अरेंजमेंट फॉर अस टू ट्रेवल ऑन दिस नाइस शिप फर्स्ट वॉयज, नाउ दे मे बी कर्सिंग गॉड, देयर फैमिली मेंबर्स और देयर रिलेटिव्स, दे मे बी कर्सिंग गॉड, व्हाई डिड यू डू दिस, why they had to die, why they had to sink and die, lose their lives. So somewhere there is suffering, somewhere there is enjoyment, somebody is enjoying, somebody is suffering, all these things is going on. Is it whimsical? So first of all, Krishna says samoham sarva bhuteshu nama dveshyati na asti na priya. I am equal to everyone, I do not envy anyone, or I do not do some special favor to anyone. I am equal to everyone. So Krishna is not that, okay, I have some ego issue with somebody, so I put a lot of misery on that person, or somebody is very special to me, I give him a lot of favor, some special mercy on them, he is born into Tata Birla's house, or somebody is poverty stricken. So I am equal to everyone. So if God is equal to everyone, why there is suffering? And when we think of suffering, the question of suffering comes first of all because we think this material world is for our enjoyment. That God created this material world for us to enjoy. So So if this is a place for us to enjoy, why there is suffering? Then God should have made all the arrangement for everybody to enjoy, no suffering, no problems at all. So what is this material world? How we come into this material world? Why did we come into this material world? So we need to answer or raise this question first. So there is another person, and generally we challenge God when some problems come. So there is this person called Arthur Ashe, a very famous tennis player. So he was a Wimbledon champion, won the trophy. And after he won this trophy, he got a disease. He got cancer, I guess. And when this disease was detected, he was diagnosed with this disease, he started receiving very many letters from his fans. You are such a good person. Why did God do this to you? Why you had to go through this without any of your problem or your mistake? Why you had to suffer? So this person actually gave a very wonderful reply. He said, every year there are 5 million people who begin to play tennis. Out of those 5 million, there are 500,000 who learn how to play. Out of those, 50,000 learn professional tennis. And out of those 50,000, maybe 50 or 5,000 earn the Grand Slam, enter the Grand Slam. And out of those 5,000, maybe 50 qualify for Wimbledon. And then 4 makes for semi-final. And 2 reach final. And out of that, 1 wins the trophy. And I was that one. I was that one who won that Wimbledon championship. And at that time, I did not ask God, why me? Why did you choose me to receive such a nice favor? Why should now there is a problem in my life, now why should I ask God, why me? So, see, this is the both sides of the situation. So when somebody's wrong happens, or when something good happens, when good happens, that time we don't remember God. Why me? Why you choose me to receive such a nice favor? That I got so much luxury, such a nice birth in a nice family, or all these facilities of life, lot of wealth, nice family life, nice wife, nice kids. At that time, this question doesn't come in mind. That time you think, oh, I am very special. This is all because of my hard work. And when some suffering comes, that time the question comes, why me? Why did God do this to me? So if we really want to understand this, we have to put the pieces of puzzle together. It's like there is a puzzle, 500 pieces. All these pieces scattered here and there. It's hard to see what the picture looks like. If we really want to see the nice picture, we have to put the pieces of the puzzle together. Right? Then we are able to see that picture. So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna discusses 5 topics. There are 5 topics which are discussed in depth in Bhagavad Gita. We have discussed 2 of them in detail. We have discussed Ishvara, God. Does God exist? Who is God? Another one we have discussed is Jiva. Who am I? Right? What is the living entity? So the other topics are Prakriti, Kal, and Karma. So we have to understand these topics to be able to solve this riddle. So what is this material nature? What is this whole cosmic manifestation? So this material world, this whole material manifestation is actually only 1/4 of the overall creation. There is a spiritual world and there is material world. So material world and spiritual world put together is the overall creation. 3/4 is the spiritual world. And only 1/4 is this material creation, this material world. And in that 3/4 of the spiritual world, there are many spiritual planets like Vaikuntha, called Vaikuntha Lok, Vaikuntha Jagat. What is the difference in Vaikuntha or material world? Vaikuntha comes from the word kunta. Kunta means anxiety. Vaikuntha means where there is no anxiety. So in the spiritual world, there is no anxiety, no suffering, no problems at all. On the contrary, this material world is called Kuntha Jagat, which is full of miseries, full of problems, full of suffering. In spiritual world, everything is made up of Chintamani. Chinta word does not come from Chinta as a tension, stress. Chinta comes from Chintan. From whatever we think, it appears. Whatever you think of, meditate, whatever you imagine, it becomes available in front of you. That is called Chintamani. So Chintamani is which grants all your wishes. So in spiritual world, everything is made up of Chintamani. Whatever you desire, it just appears. You want to drink milk, milk appears. You want to eat mango, mango appears. You want to drink mango shake appears. So everything, just by desire, everything is fulfilled. There is no anxiety, no suffering at all. If that Chintamani or the touchstone or the wish fulfilling tree were to be in this material world, you know what will be the situation? We will not be able to digest that also. Because in material world, the mind of people is so torturing all the time. So once one person was traveling, he was traveling through the village going to some his work. So traveling through the forest, so while traveling, because of long journey, he was very tired. Bhook pyaas se behal. So he was so tired, he sat under a tree, and as he was sitting there resting, he thought it will be so nice if I had something to eat. And immediately the food appeared there. And he was wondering from where this food come. He was looking here and there. So ultimately he ate that food. And he, because there was a, he started thinking, so nice weather, so nice breeze is going on. I wish if there was a nice bed, I could rest, take some sleep. So immediately bed appeared. So he laid on that bed and slept. As he was sleeping, he saw a dream. Maybe all my wishes are getting fulfilled. Maybe there is a ghost on this tree. So this tree was what? This was a kalpa vriksha, desire fulfilling tree. So whatever he was thinking, everything was appearing. But our mind is so troubling, we always think of negative. So he thought, oh, maybe there is some ghost living on this tree. What if he comes and started kind of pressing my, started choking me? So immediately the ghost came and he started choking him. So in Kali Yuga, in material world, that's why we don't have that facility. In spiritual world, everything is Chintamani, made of touchstone. All the pillars, the house, the buildings, everything is made of the stones, gems, nice touchstones. So in spiritual world, so 3/4 is a spiritual world, only 1/4 is the material creation. So in the originally, we all belong to the spiritual world. So we all were in spiritual world, we were with Krishna, and we were serving Krishna, but then we were sent back to in this material world. And then somebody may ask, if we were in spiritual world in first place, which is no misery at all pleasures and pleasure, then why were we sent into this material world? So we forced Krishna to send us to this material world. As we were in spiritual world, in this material world, spiritual world serving Krishna, we got this tendency, this desire to be the enjoyer. So in spiritual world, everybody is serving Krishna. Krishna is the center. And we got this desire, why Krishna has to enjoy? Why I have to serve Krishna all the time? I would like to enjoy. I would like to be served by others. So Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, so this, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Icha Dvesha Sammuttena Dvanda Mohena Bharata Sarva Bhutani Sammoham Sarge Yanti Parantapa. So originally we were all in spiritual world, but the two things happened, Icha and Dvesh. We got this desire to enjoy. And Dvesh is jealousy, envious from Krishna. Why Krishna has to be the enjoyer? I would like to enjoy, people should serve me. So as soon as these two things happened, Krishna said, here nobody will, you want to enjoy, yes, I can make arrangement for you to enjoy. But here, I am the only Lord. Everybody accept me as the Supreme Lord. Nobody will accept you. If you want to enjoy, I can make separate arrangement for you. So I will make arrangement for you. I will create a separate place for you where you can go and try to enjoy to your fullest capacity. I give you the full freedom. So that's why originally we were in spiritual world, and Krishna, we forced Krishna to send so that we could be the enjoyer. It's like there is another Abrahamic religion, there is a story of Adam and Eve. So originally they say there is only two living entities, Adam and Eve, and they were living in the garden created by God, the Eden's garden. So in that garden, as they were freely roaming around enjoying, there was a tree in that garden, apple tree. So once a snake on that tree, he started hissing, started attracting Eve. Come, listen to me. You should try the fruit of this tree. And Eve said, no, God has forbidden us to taste the fruit of this tree. He said, no, you should try. You know why God asked you not to eat the fruit from this tree? Because God is envious of you. God is jealous of you. He does not want you to become equal to Him. So you should try to eat this fruit. And Eve got captivated. And she convinced Adam also. So they both took the apple and they took the bite from that apple. As soon as they took the bite, two things happened. This is what Krishna is also describing. Icha, Dvesh, Dvandh Mohena Bharata. As soon as there is Icha and Dvesh, the duality comes. So as soon as they had the desire to eat the fruit from this tree, they got the enviousness. As soon as they took the bite, their duality came. Earlier they did not know about male and female. And they did not know we are naked. They were just roaming around in the Eden's Garden of Eden. They did not know what is male and female. They had no duality. As soon as they ate the fruit, the duality came. They became aware that we are naked. And the second thing happened, they became aware, I am she, he is he. So they became aware of the he and she, that duality. And with these two things, they saw them falling down from that garden. So what is that? This story also is a modified version of what Krishna is describing. That when the enviousness and desire to enjoy by ourselves comes, take the position of God, we are sent into this material world. We fall down from the spiritual world, come into this material world. So the spiritual world is full of all the opulence. What is the spiritual world? Krishna says, na tad bhasyate suryo, na shashanko, na pavakah, yad gatva na nivartante, tad dhama paramam mama. The spiritual world has no anxiety at all. There is no need of sun. There is no need of fire. There is no need of electricity to give light. It's self-effulgent. Somebody when reached to this supreme abode does not come down to this material world. So originally we were in spiritual world, but we choose to come down. We forced God to send us to this material world to enjoy separate from God. But once we get rid of all our tendencies of enjoyment, once we surrender back to the Lord, we can come back to our original position. And attaining our original position, one does not fall back. But in this material world, what is the situation? We are so much puffed up. This material world, as I said, it's just 1/4 of the creation. And in that 1/4 of the creation, there are so many universes. Not just one universe, there are so many universes. In each universe, there are so many planets. Among those, all those planets, there is one Earth planet. So first of all those universes, there is one universe where we are. In that universe, among so many planets, there is one planet Earth on which we are sitting. In that planet Earth, there are so many countries. Among that country, there is one country called USA. In that country, there are so many states and cities. Among that city, there is one city, a tiny city called Metro Detroit. In that there is one suburb called Troy. In that there is one nice house. And I think, oh, I am the owner of this house. I am the controller. I am the owner of these cars. There's one person sitting inside that house giving some class to 20-30 people, and he starts thinking, see, I'm such a nice speaker, I speak so nicely, I can give nice classes, nice preacher. So we get puffed up with all these things. So in this material world, we are carrying on with all these tendencies of ego, this envy, desire to enjoy for name and fame, to be the controller. And this is going on and on and on. So Krishna says, when we can get rid of all these tendencies, once we attain back to the spiritual world, there is no coming back. In this material world, there have been so many people who had tried to be the controller, who wanted to conquer the whole world. There are maybe Napoleon, Alexander, Hitler, so many people came and went. There are so many politicians, they want to climb up the ladder of this, be the topmost leader, rule the world, be the controller. So, because of this tendency to be the controller, to be the enjoyer, we are put into this material world. So God, why God created this material world in first place? It's like the example as I showed here. If you have a small child and your child want to cook, suppose you have a 5-6 year old child and you want to cook, how many mothers will allow your little child to cook by themselves? Give them everything, full access to your kitchen, all the knives and forks and all the stove and fire and everything. How many mothers will give the full access to the kitchen? Will you? No. So any intelligent mother will not allow the child to play with the real knives and the stove and the burner and all those things. But they will do is, what will you do is, you will give maybe a toy kitchen, toy utensils, toy stove. That okay, you want to cook in the kitchen, here is your kitchen. You can cook whatever you want. So this child has all this toy utensils and everything, and she is maybe cooking all day. So she may be playing with that toy kitchen, but when the child gets hungry, will they eat whatever as the imitation cooking they have done? Or what will they do? They will run to mommy. Mama, mama, I am hungry. Please give me some food. And will the mother say, no, 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 see, you have your own kitchen. Go enjoy whatever you have, imitation cooking, whatever you have cooked, eat that. Actually, we will also shut down our kitchen. We will come into your kitchen and we will eat that. So, a mother, whenever the child runs back to mother, I am hungry, mother will serve the child. Mother will give the food to the child. So, God also created this material world. That you want to be the enjoyer? Here, there is a place for you where you can try to be the enjoyer. And we have been trying in various forms to enjoy. Every day we have something or other. If I do this, oh, I will become happy. Oh, no, no, maybe if I do this, then I will become happy. So we are in this struggle for gaining this happiness. But the real happiness, at the end, as a child gets frustrated with all this playing in the kitchen, there is no real food. And then ultimately she has to run to the mother to give him the food. Same way, there is no real happiness. There may be a flickering happiness in this material world. We may try to gain little bit happiness here and there. Ultimately, at the end, there is frustration. But when we turn back to the Supreme Lord, when we turn back to Krishna, that, oh, I'm done with this, my foolish playthings. Now I want to come back to you. Then Krishna, when we are freed from all our this contamination, then Krishna accepts us back, take us back to this original position. So this place has been created for us as a plaything for us to be, try to be the enjoyer. And this material world Krishna describes, this is not a place for enjoyment. This is place for our correction, to get rid of our all those negative tendencies. So the Krishna describes this material world. What are the characteristics of this material world? It says dukkhalayam. This material world is a place of misery. What is Alaya? You say Himalaya. Himalaya is home for ice. Vidyalaya, house of education. Pustakalaya, house of books. So same way dukh alya. So this material world is referred as dukhalya. This is a place, this house for suffering. This is not a house for enjoyment. This is a house for suffering. And what is the other characteristic? Somebody may think, no, where is there is suffering? See, I am enjoying. I am trying to be the enjoyer. So we sometimes challenge God. No, there is no suffering at all. See, I will prove you wrong. I will make sure. I will show you I can be happy here. So there may be little flickering happiness sometime. But what is the next characteristic of this material world? Ashashvatam. Even though there may be temporary happiness, that is temporary. That's not permanent. Same way, misery also is not permanent. That is also temporary. So all the happiness and distress we get in this material world, it's not permanent. If happiness is there, the misery is coming around the corner. Padam padam yadabe padam. And if there is a misery is there, happiness is also coming. Misery is not going to last forever. As we did not invited misery, misery doesn't just comes and rings your doorbell. Nobody has to go and invite the misery. So same way happiness also come. So this happiness and misery both keep going on within this material world. This is the place called Dukhalya Ashashvatam. So why Krishna had to make this as a miserable place? Krishna wanted to send us some other place for us to try to be the enjoyer, but then why it has to be a miserable place? Why couldn't Krishna make it all nice, everything, no problems at all? So this material world is sometimes referred as a prison house. Sometimes people don't like the word prison house. So sometimes for them we have to tell them it's like a hospital. Okay, so this material world can be treated as a prison house or a hospital. What is the purpose of both? Either it's as a correction center or to cure us from our disease. So right now we are in a disease condition because we got the envy from the Lord and the desire to be the enjoyer, as to be the center of enjoyment. So now when some government plans a city, so let's say, okay, we are having a commission board here, we are going to build a new city. What all will you like to have in that city? Any ideas? What will you like to see in a new city?
Hospital.
Schools.
Theater.
Shopping mall. Some gardens.
Worship. Place of worship.
Place of worship. Okay, we want to have temple, church or something like that. Place of worship. So we want to see school. Nobody want to have houses. You want to live on the road. So we want to have some maybe nice subdivision, apartment complex, school, hospital, theater, place of enjoyment, club, place of worship. So all these places. So when the city is planned, along with all these things, towards the outskirts of the city, they have something called as a police station or a jail also. Right? So every city has a police department or some kind of a jail. So why a city has to spend so much money to open a police station, hire so many people and put a jail? What is the requirement? Because they know there will be some people who will not follow the laws of the government, the rules of the government. There are some people who are not the law abiders, they are the law breakers. So to correct those people, to punish those people, there is a need of police department or a jail. So they can be separated from the normal public. Not let them mingle up with the public to cause disturbance in the society. So they are separated, they are put in a prison house, in a jail, where they are given a kind of treatment to correct them as a punishment. So same way this material world has been created, Lord has to create 1/4 out of his whole creation. He had to put 1/4 for this prison house, as a prison house, where some people are not the law abiders, who want to create disturbance in the society. Okay, you go stay in a separate place. So this is as a correction center. or it can be treated as a hospital also. So in hospital, when somebody is diseased, they are sent into a hospital, taken into a hospital where they go through some treatment to cure from that disease. So now when somebody goes into prison house or into a hospital, admitted into a prison house or hospital, what is the first thing is done? Anybody? What is the first thing they do?
Change the clothes.
Change the clothes. So they change the dress. So in the prison house, they change the dress of the imprisoned person, the criminal, right? Give them the dress which is for to be worn in the police, in the jail. Same way in the hospital also. In the hospital, when somebody is admitted, right now in these days, actually, even if you go for some small test, they'll say, okay, take off all your clothes, put on this gown. Just go for regular checkup also. They want to take off all your clothes, give their own clothes. So they give, change the dress. So same way in this material world, when we are sent into this material world, what is the first thing done to us? Give us a new dress. So in spiritual world, we have our spiritual body, spiritual dress. And in material world, this body, we discussed last time, is like a dress. So we are given a new dress. So you may have an experience, if somebody is so much interested into going deep into the ocean, okay, gotakori karne ke liye jaate hain. So what do? They put on some costume, as a swim costume, where they can go in deep water, stay long for in the water. So some mask, some flaps, dresses, something. And same way, somebody want to go in the space. Somebody is traveling in space. There is a space suit. So you put on a special dress where you can live, stay in the space. So for any part, based on the environment, we put on a dress. Same way, when we are sent into this material world, we are given a dress which is suitable for staying in this material world. And there are 8.4 million varieties of dresses available. Okay, not just 1, 2, 3 type of dresses. There are 8.4 million varieties of dresses based on the desire of the person, how he wanted to enjoy. If somebody want to enjoy as a beast, yes, there is a dress for you. You want to enjoy as a bird, fly freely in the sky, yes, there is a dress for you. You want to swim in the ocean, yes, there is a dress for you. Aquatic body. So like that, there are 8.4 million type of dresses. What are those? Krishna says, there are 9 lakh species of aquatic dresses, 20 lakh of plants and trees, 11 lakh of insects, 10 lakh of bird species, 30 lakh of animals, and then 4 lakh of human species. Human is also not just one species. There, okay, one type of human, two-legged, two-armed person. So human also, there are multiple varieties of human beings also, multiple species, like the Gandharvas, Chanaras, the demigods, they also come in the same category. It's based on the level of consciousness. There is another variety of human species is called Kim Purusha. There is a particular planet within this universe called Kim Loka. Okay, and the person, the people living there, they are called Kim Purush. So Kim is as a question mark. In Sanskrit, Kim means kya. Kim Purush means, is that Purush, is that a human being? So as I, because their body looks like a human being, but their head is like something different. Head may be of some animal. So like this Vanaras at the time of Lord Ram. So there were so many Vanaras which assisted Lord Ram. So Vanara means Va plus Nar. The face, the top portion of the person looks like a monkey. The bottom portion is like a human being. So that is Vanara. And Jambavan. Who was Jambavan? So he was, the top of his body was like a bear. And the bottom is like a human being. Jambavan. So like that, there are so many different varieties. So there is a particular planet called Kimaloka. So all these species are there as a different varieties of dresses for us to choose from based on a person's desire to enjoy in a particular way. So the next thing, what is done when somebody goes to jail or to the, if somebody is really, really sick in a hospital, what do they do? Lock him up in a room. In a jail, they tie up person with chains. So same way, in this material world, we are also chained. Now this is an interesting concept. Manmani say, actually, how come I am chained? I am free. I can move around anywhere. I don't see any shackles on my body. So what are these shackles? These are the three modes of material nature. Everybody is bound with these three modes of material nature. This is like the three ropes. And everybody is shackled with that. So when somebody, like three ropes are like, sometimes they make the rope. How do they make the rope? So they take three thin strands of the thread, they kind of tie it together, then they take those three, then tie further together. Like that they can make big rope, a thick rope. And that kind of rope even can anchor a big ship. Even the big ship cannot move anchored with such a thick rope. So same way, these three modes of material nature. So there is mode of passion, goodness and ignorance. Sattvaguna, Rajaguna and Tamoguna. And we are all bound up with these three modes. And it's not just like somebody will be purely bound with either goodness or purely bound with passion or purely bound with ignorance. It's the combination of these three. Like we make the rope by combination of three ropes. So same way, with the combination of three modes, different varieties of rope are made. So we are all bound with these three modes of material nature. And in this material world, we are imprisoned in different cells based on different bodies, right? Different species of life. Like in prison house, there are different cells in the prison house. If a politician go into jail, he may be given a nice cell, nice arrangements there. He may have a TV, a refrigerator and newspaper facility and all that. And maybe a little bigger room. Somebody else may be in a B-class cell. Yes, he has a nice room to walk around. He gets food on time. But he doesn't have all those other luxury facilities. Somebody else may be completely in a very small dark room. There is no light also given. Just food provided through a small hole from the bottom. So as the prisoner in the jail is in different cells based on their activity, the crime they may have committed. So same way in this material world, all these different varieties of species are like different cells in the prison house. Somebody may have a facility of A-class cell, getting a nice human form of life. Somebody may be in the life of a species of animal or bird. Somebody is in tree species. You just keep standing naked at one place, no mobility at all. So tree is just standing like that, naked at one place. Cannot move here and there, either it's summer, winter, rain, snow, anything, just keep standing there. So in this material world also, all these living entities are in different grades of cells. So we are all bound and we are trying to upgrade, isn't it? In this material world, we are just trying to improve the situation of our life. Somebody living in a 2-bedroom apartment want to go to a 4-bedroom or a nice bungalow. Somebody having a Toyota Corolla, you want to get a Cura or something. See, it happens. Somebody, four friends there. First Toyota Corolla, second Toyota Corolla, third Toyota Corolla, fourth one gets a Cura. See, I am the man. That happens, right? We are going through, we are trying to upgrade our situation in this lifetime, trying to go from C grade to B grade to A grade cell. Doesn't matter it's a A grade cell, B grade cell, C grade cell, chain is chain. No matter if a chain is made up of gold or silver or iron, it's a shackle on you, it's binding you. So same way, no matter whatever life situation we may be able to acquire, may be able to improve, ultimately we are in the prison house. So we are bound with these three modes. And who is controlling all that? Briefly we discuss. This material world is also called Durga, as a fort, right, where everybody is there, big walls, nobody can escape. And as in a jail, there is a jailer, superintendent. So same way, Durga Devi is the superintendent of this material world. That's her name is Durga, comes from Durga. She is the in charge of this fort, this material world, to keep the people bound within this material world. And she carries a trident, Trishul. The three pokes of that trident represents the three type of miseries: Adi Bhautik Klesh, Adi Atmik Klesh, Adi Devik Klesh. And her job is to keep imposing on that. And when we pray to Durga Devi, why people are praying to Durga Devi? Please don't impose these miseries on me. Please let me get some relaxation. We are all these demigods, these Devi Devatas. When you pray to them, they can remove the obstacles within this material world as a temporary benefit. But they cannot reward the ultimate benediction, which is freedom from this material world, liberation from this material world. They cannot give that to us. So Durga Devi, she is the in charge, and she is providing all these different dresses based on a person's desire and deserve. What he deserves, what he desires. So we discussed all that. So next topic is Kal. I'm going to discuss very briefly. Kal is what? Time. Right? Time factor. Anybody sees Mahabharata serial when it came up? In the beginning, there is a wheel going on. And what does it say? Main samay hoon. So there is a time factor. Krishna says, Kaloham asmi. I am the time factor. So Krishna is time factor, and with time everything changes. Time is considered as a great healer. So time heals all wounds. Why we say that? So with time everything changes. There may be some misery, but with time it gets fixed. There may be some happiness at particular point of time. With time it may be taken away. So there are so many people who came and who went, who were trying to be the controller. They tried to be the controller for some point of time, but ultimately everybody went. So now coming to the real question, after understanding all this, that okay, this material world, now I understand this is not the place of happiness. This is a prison house, a correction center, where we have been sent to correct for our actions, for our desires. So why do the bad things happen to good people? How do we understand that puzzle? So who determines who is going to suffer? How much suffering somebody has to experience? Who determines all that? Is there some law behind that? Or is it all happening whimsically by chance? Somebody I heard, saw somebody mouthing, karma. So there are some things we choose in our life. Right? So we have a freedom to choose your life partner. You can choose your spouse. You can choose your house, what kind of house you want to live in. So when Prabhupada wanted to buy a house, he had a choice to buy here or there, which he chose to buy here. Right? So we have a choice, which, what type of house, where we want to buy, what type of life partner. We have a choice, what kind of career we want to undertake. You want to be a doctor, engineer, lawyer. So you have some choices which you can determine, but then there are some things where you don't have any control at all. You cannot choose certain things. For example, we cannot choose our parents. Does a child has a choice what kind of parents he want to have? Right? I cannot say, okay, I want to be born in the house of Tata Birla or a billionaire, millionaire. So we don't have a choice what kind of parents one will get. We don't have a choice. Somebody is born as a poor person or a rich person. Somebody takes birth. He may be born in a very rich family. Somebody may be born in a very poor family. That person himself does not have any control on that. Somebody doesn't have a control. He will be handsome or ugly. Right? Whatever is given to us. Somebody may be very handsome. Somebody may be ugly. So some are born with silver spoons in their mouth. Somebody are poverty stricken. Somebody may be born very handsome. Somebody may be born ugly. Somebody may be born very healthy. Somebody may be born with some disease, some disabilities. Right? So somebody may have given a lot of intelligence. He can take a profession. He can become a nice engineer, doctor, scientist. and somebody ends up becoming a laborer. He doesn't have enough facility to study, to get a degree. So he becomes a laborer. So then one child is born, like all these combinations. Somebody is born in a very rich family. As soon as he is born, he has millions of dollars in his account. And on the other side, somebody is born, as soon as he is born, he gets maybe a $1 million debt. Right? He is born in a family which is under debt. So as soon as he is born, he is under debt. So when we see all these things, why so much discrimination? Even though if God has to send us here, why he has to put together all these different combinations, different varieties? Why so much discrimination? Sometimes people say, oh, it's just the will of God, whatever he wanted to do. But if God is equal to everybody, if he is loving to all, why he has to discriminate, give some facility to somebody and make somebody else suffer? So is there any law behind that? So now we come to the point, the law of karma. This law of karma, this karma word is becoming a globally recognized word, right? It has got a place maybe in Oxford Dictionary also. Everybody knows about word karma. Even all the Western people also, in your office, you ask anybody karma. Yeah, we know karma. So everybody has heard the word karma, but they may not know what karma really means. What are the complications of karma? Karma has become such a popular word. There are so many food brands which are named karma. If you go to Whole Food or this Fresh Thyme, there is a milk brand which is called Good Karma. So people have heard this word karma, that oh, we should try to avoid some bad karma. They don't want to drink cow milk, maybe it brings some bad karma. So they want to use all the rice milk, almond milk, flaxseed milk, and they have named the brand as Good Karma. You don't incur any karma. So what is this karma? What is this karma principle? How does it apply? How does it affect others? So karma principle, even this is described in Bible also. There are so many phrases in Bible which points to this karma principle. At least the earlier version were very significantly pointing towards this karma principle and reincarnation principle. So the karma principle is, as you sow, so shall you reap. Right? So whatever type of seed you will put, you will get the fruit based on that. If you are putting a tomato seed in the ground, you cannot expect a pineapple tree to come out of that. So as you sow, so shall you reap. So as a judge, in a court, maybe a judge can imprison somebody, give some punishment to somebody, and the same judge maybe can award somebody. So some person he sends into imprisonment for lifetime, give a punishment, and the same judge may give $1,000 reward to somebody. So now is that judge partial to that person, giving punishment to somebody or reward to somebody else? So judge is just based on the activity of that person, either punishing that person or rewarding somebody else. If somebody has broke the law of government, he has done something against the law, that person is punished. And if somebody is a very law-abiding citizen, has done some nice work, help city or save somebody's life, that same person is rewarded. So as judge is impartial, just based on the activity of different person, either punishes or reward. So same way, the law of karma acts. So this law of karma also awards either happiness or distress based on the activities undertaken by that person. So what is karma? If we want to define karma, what is karma? It's any activity performed by a living entity under the three modes of nature in the jurisdiction of time. That is called karma. So what is karma? It's not just any activity done. Any activity done, because we are all bound with three modes, so any activity done under the influence of these three modes, under the jurisdiction of time, because time is also a big factor here. So how is that? Again, this is a scientific statement also. In science also, we know some principle as Newton's third law. Everybody has heard of Newton's third law? What is Newton's third law? So for every action, there is equal and opposite reaction. So now what is that? So that is actually law of karma. So for every action, there is a reaction. So law of karma, actually it's a universal principle. So like law of Newton's third law or law of gravity. It's a universal law. It's not the question of somebody's belief or disbelief. Somebody say, okay, I don't believe in the law of karma, so it does not apply on me. Oh, in law of karma is maybe just for Indian people, just for Hindu people. It applies only on this set of people. Does not apply on me. Law of karma is a universal principle. No matter somebody believes in it, does not believe in it. It applies on everyone equally. Like law of gravity. So now law of gravity, is it specific to it applies only on people living in US or living in India or China or particular place? It applies on everybody, right? Somebody cannot say, oh, I don't believe in law of gravity. So I don't believe in it, it's not going to apply on me. I'm going to jump from the 100th story. See, nothing is going to happen to me. So will that person will be saved? It's not that he's jumped, law of gravity doesn't work on him, he's just flying, doesn't fall down. As soon as he jumps, he is bound to fall down under the law of gravity, under the pull of that gravitational force. So same way law of karma acts on everybody equally, no matter if you believe in it or doesn't believe in it. So for every action, there is equal and opposite reaction. Now what type of different actions are there? So karma can be further divided into different categories. So one is called, so karma broadly, we say action and reaction. Further subcategory, subdivision is, it's called sukarma, vikarma and akarma. So we will discuss sukarma and vikarma first. So sukarma is anything, any activity, good activity done under the rules and regulations of the law of God, under the rules and regulation given by God, all any good activity done, that is called sukarma. So sukarma means good activity which brings good result. So you follow nicely all the principles, rules and regulation, like a good citizen who abides by the law of the city, the state, the government, he is rewarded as a good citizen. So same way, sukarma, good activity brings good result. And then vikarma, vikarma is any activity done against the law of God, against the rules and regulation. Disobeying the rules of God, that is called vikarma. So vikarma means bad activity. Now bad activity also is a very relative term. For some people, something may be very moral activity. For somebody else, it may be an immoral activity. So who is going to determine it's a sukarma or vikarma? So it's not based on somebody's individual judgment. It's based on the law of God. See, in a old time, no matter it's India or USA, everybody knew that abortion is bad activity. It's an immoral activity, right? But now, some people may think, oh, abortion is completely a normal thing. It's a moral activity. It's your own choice. Her body, her choice. People come with this phrase, her body, her choice, whatever she want to do. So people think, oh, it's completely moral activity, whatever she want to do. So for some people, same activity may be immoral activity, from other person it may be a moral activity. So but here we say vikarma, it's any wrong activity is considered, some activity is considered wrong which is against the laws of God. That is considered wrong. That is called vikarma, which brings in bad reaction. So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, karmano api bodhavyam, bodhavyam sa vikarmana, akarmanascha bodhavyam gahana karmano gati. To understand this complexities of sukarma, vikarma and akarma, so what is good, what is bad, what is akarma, it's very complicated. It's very hard to understand this because all these different type of activities bring different reaction. So when we say karma, first of all, it's not just the action. So sometimes karma is referred as only action, but karma is a combination of action and reaction also. And sometimes it can be referred only to reaction also. So when something wrong, you get something bad result, we say, oh, it's my karma. So we are referring to just the reaction. So what are the different type of reaction? Some activity, you do any activity, you can get instant reaction. Like instant dokla. So you, there is no need to put the batter for some time. Just mix it and make it instant. The same way some activity you do, there is an instant reaction. For example, you are walking on the walkway, slap somebody. That person may turn back and slap you even harder. Immediately. So, instant reaction. And some activities may bring the reaction maybe few hours later. So, you went to a mall, went to some sabji mandi or some store and ate some nice chaat papadi. That time you did not realize, everything happy, nice. In the morning, something burning up in the stomach. And you feel, why is this happening to me? What did I do? And since morning, I didn't do anything wrong. But remember, last time you did something. You ate all that chaat papadi spicy thing. Now, you are getting the reaction. So, some activity, instant reaction. Some activity may bring reaction in few hours. Some activity may bring reaction in few days or few months. Like you sow a seed, the plant will come out, the fruit from that plant will come out maybe in few months. You sow the seed in April, May time frame, the fruit will start coming in August. By the time summer is already going. So, result after few months. And some activity, result come after few years. Not few hours, few days, few months, after few years. Like you sow a seed of a coconut tree. And the first fruit you will get maybe after 10 years. Somebody has sown the, planted that tree, maybe his grandchildren will enjoy the fruit. And there are some activities still where the reaction may not come within this lifetime. The reaction may come in the next life. So that's why the law of karma and the concept of reincarnation, life after life, goes hand in hand. So karma and reincarnation go hand in hand to understand the all the problems, all the suffering in life. If we think life is just this one particular life, and I have not done anything wrong in this lifetime, that's why we are not able to solve this particular puzzle. Why there is suffering in this life? Why I had to suffer? Because there is something you have done in your previous life, or few lives back, for which you are getting the reaction now. Some activities one can get the reaction within this lifetime. So somebody may be a chain smoker. Right? He is smoking. He thinks, oh no, nothing is happening to me. I am perfectly fine, perfectly healthy. See? This law of karma doesn't work on me. So I am perfectly alright. But wait, reaction is coming. Few years, 10 years, 20 years down the line, he gets a disease. Lung cancer or some breathing problem, all that. So because the action was done, it's going on, the result is coming now. So some activity, instant reaction, some after few days, some after few months, some after few years, some after few lifetimes. Let's say, there is a saying, the mills of God grind slowly but exceedingly fine. This is another statement from Bible itself. So this is also pointing towards law of karma. The mills of God grind slowly but exceedingly fine. One cannot escape the law of karma, the law of God. One may be able to escape the law of city, the law of state, the law of country. But one cannot escape the law of God. One may think, oh, see, I murdered that person and I escaped. Nobody is able to catch me. But you are going to experience the reaction. In India, in all countries it happens, the bribe system is there, right? The corruption is there. So somebody may get free himself by giving some bribe. He may free himself from the law of state, law of country. But karma does not take bribe. So all whatever we have done, we are going to experience that reaction. There is no bribe for karma. So now sometimes people say, okay, I may have done something wrong, but how do I know if this thing is vikarma or sukarma? Is this activity right or wrong? For example, if somebody working in army as a soldier, he goes to fight on the border and he can kill hundreds of enemies, and that person, because he is doing at the order of the chief, army chief or whoever the boss is, by killing those hundreds of enemies, he gets reward. Paramvir Chakra or Mahavir Chakra or whatever it is. But that same soldier, now suppose he comes and he comes on vacation to his hometown and he picks a fight with a neighbor, and under the rage of anger, he takes out his gun and shoots that neighbor. Now the same soldier who was awarded earlier for killing hundreds of enemies, this person is now going to be court-martialed. So the same army, the same boss is now going to give punishment. So he can say, oh, see, earlier I killed so many people and you gave me prize, award me. Now you are punishing me. Why is that? Because earlier you did on the order of the authorities. But now you are acting whimsically. So now there is punishment. So same way, when we are acting as per the instructions of God, there is no punishment. But when somebody does the same action whimsically, there is severe punishment. Somebody will think, okay, if I kill somebody, will I be punished? If I kill somebody for my self-protection, this question comes very often. If I kill somebody for self-protection, is there a reaction for that? So actually scriptures define there are six types of aggressors. If somebody is harms that aggressor or kills that aggressor, there is no reaction. So what are these six types of aggressors? If somebody attacks you with a deadly weapon, somebody tries to give poison, somebody sets your house on fire, somebody try to plunder your riches, somebody try to kidnap somebody's wife. So like that, there are six types of aggressors listed. If somebody for self-defense kills that aggressor, there is no reaction, because that is as per the authority of the scripture. But somebody suppose whimsically goes and kills somebody, then there is reaction. So now this another very famous, so I am trying to handle few questions also, because these are the very popular common questions which are asked. So I am trying to handle it in the discussion itself here. So sometimes people ask, at the very first slide we were discussing, somebody may be studying throughout the year but doesn't get enough marks, barely passes. On the contrary, there is somebody doesn't study at all, few hours before final exam, and he gets very great marks. Somebody working too hard, he is just able to earn enough to maintain his livelihood. On the contrary, somebody is born with a silver spoon, golden spoon in mouth, he has so much money, doesn't have to worry about his livelihood or his food. So why is that? Because this is again determined by the law of karma. We are all bound with the law of karma. As a cow, if a cow is bound to a tree with a rope, cow can just walk limited around that tree. So if a cow is bound, there is nothing much cow can move beyond that, the length of the rope. Cow in actual sense has a lot of potential to walk. If there is no rope bound with the tree, the cow can, same cow can move hundreds of miles. But when it is bound with the tree, she can move only as per the length of the tree. So same way, all of us are bound with the law of karma, with our previous karma. Somebody may have lot of potential. Somebody may have lot of potential, but he is able to earn only that much. So how this law of karma is determined, to understand this, the another example is given. In villages, we used to store the grains in a tall pot, something called silo. Earlier it used to be made up of clay. Now we have a steel or aluminum big pots where you pour all the grains. So for example, if somebody has done the farming and got very nice crop in the first year, he collects all those grains and put it from the top of that pot. And as he needs, he opens up the small opening at the bottom, takes the grain as much needed. So he is utilizing that. Next year, that person again does the crop farming, but he gets very bad crop. Okay? So he takes again all those grains from the second year farming, puts all those grains again from the top. So now from the bottom when he opens, still the good grains are coming out. Now somebody, some innocent child watching from far away, he may think, oh, this is a magical pot. So he put all the bad grains from the top, still nice grains are coming out. So, but the person who knows the history, he knows, last year he had very nice crop, nice grains. So he is still getting those nice grains coming from the bottom. The quota from the last year is still left over there. It's still coming out. And if you, when the bad and good grains are mixed up, sometimes we may get the mixture of good and bad grains coming out. So same way in our life, in the previous life, if somebody has done very nice activity, very pious activities, his quota from the previous nice pious activities is still going on. He is still reaping the rewards, reaping the result from the past life, previous pious activities. In this life, that person may be obnoxious, a very bad person, doing all sinful activities, so many bad things. But he is enjoying the quota from the previous lifetime still. Lot of pious activity, the bank balance is still going on. But as that bank balance is exhausted, he is going to get the reward from this bad activities. He will get the result from these bad activities. So one should not get into this mood, oh see, he's such a nasty person, he is enjoying even though doing all these sinful bad activities. So on the contrary, somebody may be doing all this good right now, but he is suffering because he is getting, maybe he has done some bad activities in the previous life. Just the reverse the example. Maybe in the first year, bad crop, bad grains, poured all the bad grains. So he is still getting all the bad grains from the bottom. But next year, all good grains poured from the top, but still coming the bad grains from the bottom. So that's the story of our lifetimes also. Somebody may have done very nice activities, pious activities in previous life, so getting the result now. But the result of bad activity is yet to come. The fruit has not matured. The fruit has not matured yet. But eventually it's going to come. So another wonderful example to understand, any cricket fans here. So let's say there is a test match going on. One inning is over. So India-Pakistan test match, first inning over. Pakistan has a lead of 200 runs. So scoreboard shows Pakistan 200, India 0. And somebody comes into the playground. He looks at the scoreboard. How come the match has not even started? Pakistan 200 and India 0. Is this test board, there is some fault in the test board, or umpire is impartial or partial to one side? How come one team got already some score in their credit and other team has 0? But that person doesn't know the one inning is already over. In the first inning, this team had scored more than the other. So now they are leading by that much score. So same way in our lifetime, this is like a test match. This is not one inning. This is not just one lifetime. We are playing a test match with innumerable innings. Okay? It's not one inning, two inning, three inning. It's uncountable innings going on. And in previous inning, somebody has done some lot of pious activities and some credit is there. So the person is born in a such nice aristocratic rich family, already got millions of dollars to his account. And somebody has done so many bad activities, he has exhausted all his good activities, bad activities result is going on. He is born poor or with some disease or with some health issues. So all these examples which we discussed earlier. So when we understand the law of karma and the concept of reincarnation, this is not a single inning match, it's a test inning, it's a test match. And this law of karma extends to not one lifetime but to multiple lifetimes. The reaction can come after many lifetimes. Then we may be able to relate to the sufferings in life. This law of karma doesn't act whimsically. It acts according to the activity we have performed. So if you have asked this question, why me? Again, you are not the alone in that list. So there is another famous personality, Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra also asked this question. Dhritarashtra asked Krishna, see, first of all, I was born blind. What did I do wrong to be born blind? Then I got 100 sons. All my 100 sons got killed in this war. They were all killed in this war. Why did this happen to me? What did I do wrong? So Krishna said, you are talking about this particular lifetime, but I can see all past, present and future. I know all your history, all your multiple innings, what kind of match you have played. So in 50 lifetimes back, you were the son of a hunter, and while playing, you climbed on a tree. On that tree, there was a nest. In that nest, there was a father bird, and the mother bird had laid multiple eggs. So you climbed up on that tree. In your playing mood, you pierced the eye of that father bird with a needle, made that father bird blind. And then you put that nest to fire. All the baby birds, small birds, were roasted alive in that fire. So now, because you had done that bad activity, now you are getting the result of your action. Because you blinded that father bird, you are born blind. And you roasted alive the 100 baby birds in that nest, so all your 100 sons are now killed. They are burned in this fire of this war. So Dhritarashtra, if you had to give me the reaction, why you did not finish up this quota right then and there? Why you have to wait for so many lifetimes? So Krishna said, you have to first become eligible to gain that much things to get the reaction. First you have to become so much, you have to earn so much pious credit to get 100 sons. To gain 100 sons, you have to get some pious credit. So now you have got that. So you are given that reaction. All your 100 sons are burnt alive or burnt in this fire of the war. So Gandhari, so she asked, okay, maybe he had done something wrong. So he got the reaction. But as long as I can see throughout my life, I am such a devoted lady. I am such a pativrata, sati istri. I even blindfolded myself to follow my pati dharma. I never did anything wrong as long as I can remember. Why I had to suffer? See, those were 100 sons, my 100 sons also. Why I had to experience that suffering? So Krishna said, I know your all the innings also. So in your previous lifetimes also, you were a princess and you were too much addicted to this tantric vidya, tantric powers. And you used to have so much headache and you consulted a tantric to cure your headache. And the tantric recommended you to collect a lot of earthworms, make the paste of those earthworms and apply on your forehead to cure your headache. So you followed the tantric, you collected the earthworms, made the paste, you had killed so many innocent living entities to get some bodily comfort for yourself. So now you are getting the reaction of having tortured those living entities. So everybody, we may also ask this question, why me? Or something happens in the family. Like, okay, this person had to suffer, why me? So Krishna has a very super computer, smart computer. Sometimes we think, okay, maybe God has some, his file got corrupt, some virus is in God's computer, maybe he doesn't know, somebody else supposed to get the reaction. My file got transferred with somebody and I got the reaction in spite of that person. But sorry to say, God has a supercomputer. There is no virus which can attack that system. And no file corruption, no file transfer possible. What we experience is all our account, our bank balance of this good and bad deeds. Krishna has such a supercomputer, he knows what somebody is supposed to experience. He just makes arrangement to bring people together. Like as the wind blows, the grass blades, they come together, they touch each other, and with the other blow of wind, they are separated. So same way, in this lifetime, we come together as a spouse, husband, wife, children, friends, neighbor, colleagues. We come together with each other, and we are separated. Like in a train, if you are traveling in a train, when you get into a train at a particular station, you may see many passengers sitting on the train. So you make friendship with that passenger. But as your station comes up, you get down. Do you cry that, oh, I left that passenger, or I made friend with that passenger and now I am separated from that? So as we make friend for a small duration of time, same way in this lifetime, we get all these different relationships. So Krishna bring together people based on how they have to get the happiness and distress in each other's company. So in a family, if a child gets sick, he is suffering his reaction. He has to suffer a particular reaction. He gets some particular disease. And a father, mother have to experience some anxiety, some suffering of a different type. So child is suffering out of disease. Father, mother may be suffering, seeing the suffering of the child because of that attachment. Or father may be suffering the financial burden. Suppose husband, wife living and they have a nice car. Early morning, wife is going to work and hits the car and crashes the car. Husband says, see, you did the wrong thing. Your karma. You had to experience some bad karma. And the wife says, okay, I had to experience the bad karma. So I got into this, crashed the car. But ultimately, you had to pay the bill. So your karma also. So what is that? Krishna has a supercomputer. He brings people together to give a different type of reaction, what they deserve. Accordingly, people come together. So there is a concept of individual karma and collective karma. So we discussed karma, right, as a instant reaction or a delayed reaction. So same way, there is an individual karma. Somebody has to suffer for his activity, for his good or bad deed, suffer or enjoy on an individual basis. And then there is a collective karma, where people on a mass scale experience same type of suffering. So for example, when there is a natural calamity, there is a tsunami or an earthquake, so people undergo, so many people undergo same type of distress, same type of suffering. Again, or some accident, okay, if a train accident or a plane accident, all people in that train or plane, they undergo similar type of suffering. Because everybody is supposed to experience a certain type of reaction. When all people have to experience similar reaction, Krishna says, why to spend so much time giving individual reaction? Bring all people together and at one shot, boom, everybody gets a similar reaction. So that is Adi Devik Kalesh. Okay, we discussed that in our very first session. The misery is caused by higher forces. Everybody experience goes through same. But in that situation also, even though it's a similar situation, similar type of reaction, but the extent of that suffering is different. So somebody, for example, in case of tsunami, somebody may lose all property, somebody may lose life, but somebody may get some small damage. And somebody comes alive out of all that debris of that destruction. Right? So there are so many cases, somebody just comes alive. Because what is that? Even though they had to go through that situation, experience that, but they get the quota, whatever, how much they deserve. Somebody deserved only that much distress, that much reaction, so he deserves that much. And so Krishna, somebody living in a far place, if he has to be part of that reaction, Krishna makes arrangement that person reaches there, some way, somehow, and become part of that calamity. And if somebody living there and a calamity is going to hit that area, that person doesn't deserve to get that experience, that reaction. Krishna picks up that person, sends him to a different place. Any examples?
Titanic,
right? We discussed that example. That person was set out from that situation. Krishna made the arrangement so that he doesn't have to experience that. In case of an earthquake or a tsunami, sometimes some people just go on a vacation on a seashore, right, as a Chennai beach or a Goa beach or something, and they become part of that suffering, that earthquake, that tsunami. And sometimes some earthquake comes, that person is living in that city, but the day earthquake comes, that person has already gone out to a different place. I have a personal example actually. One of my friend, personal example, one of my personal friend from Detroit, 2 years back, he went to Nepal. He went to India, and from India, he went on a trip to Nepal. And that year, there was a big earthquake in Nepal, if you remember. So, but just the day the earthquake came, the day before he came back. Okay, so he escaped from that calamity. So Krishna makes arrangement. Somebody deserves to be part of that suffering. He brings that person from far away place. He will bring that person, will come here. And if somebody doesn't deserve, he will be taken out. So this is the collective karma. Somebody has done some kind of activity, a similar type of activity. They become part of that. So this is a karma. The karma bank balance is like a restaurant. In the cafe, it's a karma cafe. There is no menu. You are served based on what you deserve. There is no choices. You are served based on what you deserve. So another example here, somebody is a, it's an unknown author, says, when a bird is alive, it eats ants. And when the bird dies, ants eat that bird. A tree may be used to make so many matchsticks, but one matchstick can burn away so many trees. Circumstances can change at any time. And that is again based on karma. Depending on how much happiness or distress we are supposed to get, based on the bank balance of good and bad deeds. So circumstances can change at any time. Don't hurt anyone because you may be powerful now. Circumstances can change any time. So some of the real life examples of karma. This is a little long topic, sorry for that. And everybody may be hungry. Another maybe 5 minutes or so will finish that. So some real life examples of karma principle. Somebody has taken a debt in the previous life and he did not pay off that debt. Now that person who gave you the debt, that may be born as a son to you in your house to that person. Now that son will take away all the properties. He will make you pay through your nose all that property. Somebody has maybe very indifferent to a spouse in previous lifetime, and in this lifetime somebody may get the spouse which will be indifferent to that person, make him cry. Sometimes people say, why I have so much suffering? ये बीवी मेरी ही किस्मत में लिखी थी. ये हस्बैंड मेरी ही किस्मत में लिखा था. यू डिड नॉट हैव एनीबॉडी गुड इन माय लाइफ. ये बच्चा मेरी ही किस्मत में लिखा था. वी हैड टू गेट दैट काइंड ऑफ चाइल्ड हु इज डजंट ओबे मी, डजंट लिसन टू मी, मेक मी सफर सो मच. सो पीपल हैव ऑल दिस सॉर्ट ऑफ थिंग्स. एंड व्हाट इज दैट? इट्स ऑल बेस्ड ऑन व्हाट काइंड ऑफ एक्टिविटीज वी हैव डन, व्हाट काइंड ऑफ बैंक बैलेंस वी हैव, एंड वी आर मेड टू एक्सपीरियंस इन दैट वे. So now what kind of bad activities can bring bad reaction? Just to summarize. So as there are 4 pillars of religious life. So contrary to that, there are 4 pillars of sinful life. 4 pillars of sinful life which are considered, again as per the scriptures, what are considered as the most sinful activities. So the 4 pillars of sinful life is considered as illicit sex, meat eating, gambling and intoxication. So contrary to that, there are 4 pillars of religion. No meat eating, no illicit relation, no gambling, no intoxication. Basically to have the principle of truthfulness, austerity, mercy and cleanliness. So these 4 sinful activities bring sinful reaction. If somebody is so much keen of drinking liquor, so there is a hellish condition. So first of all, sometimes people think, okay, there is no belief of hell. There is no hell at all. It's just some mythology. In Bhagavatam, 5th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the last chapter, it very broadly describes various type of hell. See, on this planet Earth itself, we are put into hellish condition, a suffering condition. But there are some type of miseries one cannot experience in this planet. So they have to make special arrangement. There is a separate planet to experience that kind of reaction. So if somebody is too much into this alcoholism, drinking thing. So there is a particular hellish planet where he is made to drink the molten iron poured into the body, and that person is made to spit. Another is somebody is into illicit relationships. So there is another Kumbhipath. So the name of the hells are also given. There is a Kumbhipath hell where the person is made to embrace a fiery image of the opposite gender. He is made to suffer in that way. There is somebody as eating flesh. Somebody is killing the animals to satisfy the tongue, for the taste of the tongue. People are not scared of cutting a 6-foot animal, just the taste of the 6-inch tongue. Somebody eating too much of this non-veg and killing animals. There is a particular hellish condition where person is put into the boiling oil to give that suffering. So like that, there are various type of hellish conditions. Somebody is interested in eating flesh. He is given the body of a beast. That okay, you want to enjoy in this particular way, become a beast. Somebody is doesn't discriminate what to eat. He can eat anything and everything. Like there are human beings that are becoming so degraded now. There is no discrimination in eating habits. There are some countries, they don't discriminate at all what to eat, what not to eat, all sort of things. And they will point to live species that, okay, bring that one, cook that one for me. And there are, in Kali Yuga, so much degradation is going on. People will not be even scared of eating their own flesh. Mothers will give birth to child to kill them, to chop off their skin to eat that. So, somebody doesn't discriminate in eating. The reaction is, okay, you become a hog. Hog is just wandering on the street, eating anything and everything on the street. Somebody is too much into sleeping, enjoying sleeping, okay. Long sleeping, so much of lethargy. Okay, you want to enjoy sleeping? Take the body of some species like a polar bear or something who keeps sleeping for months and months together.
Puppy?
Somebody is into exposing the body. Doesn't want to put on clothes. Want to expose. So all these Hollywood, Bollywood actresses, stars, their destination is described in scriptures as become a tree. So if somebody is interested into exposing the body, okay, you want to behave like a jadavastu, become like a tree, which is a jadavastu. Keep naked standing in all weather situations, no matter it's a winter or a summer or anything. So for different activities, there are different type of reactions defined in the scriptures. I will skip some part here. So now, as a conclusion, somebody may say that, okay, now I understand there is a karma principle. For every action, there is a reaction. For good activity, there is a good reaction. For bad activity, there is a bad reaction. So, but now, whatever I have done so far, I have done under ignorance. Will I be excused of that? Sometimes people think ignorance is bliss. Right? So whatever I have done under ignorance, maybe that's okay. So I should be excused of that. But law of God does not excuse our ignorance. As suppose you came to this country, you came to US. Now when you started driving, maybe you had to take a driving test, learn the rules and regulation of how to drive in this country. So after taking a driving license, you're driving on the road, you cross a stop sign or a red signal, and a cop catches you. Now cop gives you a ticket. Now can you tell the cop, you want to tell the cop, see, oh, I was sorry, I was ignorant, I did not know this particular rule that I have to stop at the stop sign or the red light, I have to slow down at the yellow light. So what will cop say? Will he say, okay, I understand you were ignorant, so I can excuse you? What will he say? Before you started driving, it's your responsibility to know the rules. So now you have to pay this ticket, so next time you will remember. Same way, after getting this human form of life, it's our responsibility to understand the laws of God. We have to understand how we have to conduct our life. So the law of nature, law of God, this karma principle does not excuse ignorance. And then karma and vikarma, both are binding. Either it's a good activity as sukarma or it's a bad activity as a vikarma. Both are binding. It's not that you start taking note of your good activity or bad activity. Okay, from now onwards I will carry a notebook. I will write down every good activity I perform and I will write down every bad activity. So I will cancel out good and bad. So at the end it's a zero account. So I did 5 good activity, 8 good activity, 5 negative. So I have a 3 balance of good activity. So I should get 3 good reactions. Sorry, this doesn't work like that. Every good and bad, there is a reaction. You have to get the reaction of your good activity. You have to get the reaction of your bad activities. So that's why we have a mixed bag of good and bad activities. So our bank balance has both good and bad activities in that. It's a mixed bag of the good and bad grains. So we are reaping the result. So that's why we are keep going through this little flickering happiness or sometimes suffering. Again, sometimes little happiness, then some suffering. So this all reactions at their different time, they keep coming up. Because every reaction or every result of every activity matures at a particular time frame. It's dependent on time. That's why we discuss time also. Karma is any activity, any action performed under the modes of nature in restriction of time. So now, how to get rid of this good and bad account bank balance then? So that is the third type of activity. We said there is sukarma, vikarma and akarma. So akarma, what is this akarma? Akarma is any action you perform but you do not get the reaction. So how wonderful, right? Intriguing. You get the, you do the activity but you don't get the reaction. So what kind of activity is that? So that activity, that akarma, what is akarma? We are going to discuss in our one of the last sessions, which is practical spirituality. As a brief summary or as a brief description, akarma is basically to spiritualize our pious activity. So pious activity is good deed by following the rules and regulation, but it brings a reaction. So if suppose a citizen, if he does good activity or bad activity, accordingly he has to get the punishment or reward. The same way God's law, this law of karma, good activity, bad activity, we have to get the reaction. But if we want to avoid any reaction, what is that? To spiritualize the pious activities. Not just performing the pious activities, but spiritualize that, surrendering the action and the result of that action to the Supreme Lord. So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, as a concluding statement, Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshishyami ma shucha. Just surrender unto me, I will remove all the sinful reaction. Do not fear, ma shucha. So that is what Krishna is pointing towards akarma. Just surrender unto me, surrender all your activities, the result of your activities to the Supreme Lord. And he is like a big fire. As a forest fire can consume all, everything, whatever is supplied to the fire. So same way, Krishna is like a big forest fire. He can burn up all the piles of good and bad reaction. Ultimately, otherwise both good and bad, both are binding. Even good is binding. If somebody has done so many pious activities, good activities, somebody has done a lot of charity, he has to still come back to get the good reaction. If somebody was donating a lot of clothes, maybe in next life, he will get such a life where he will never get naked, never go naked. Somebody has donated a lot of medicines, in next life, maybe he will never get diseased. So, that is how the law of karma works. So, not just pious activity, because pious also is binding. Just the good activity is also binding. What we have to do is spiritualize the pious activity. That is what it means, is surrender your action to Krishna. And Krishna says, Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo, I will burn down all your sinful reaction. Do not fear. So we'll stop here. If anybody has any question on this topic, So this is again very complex understanding law of karma. We cannot comprehend what kind of action will bring what kind of reaction. We may keep sitting all night and scratching our head. What exact particular activity I may have done to get this good result or get this bad result? So what Krishna says is to understand this karma, vikarma and akarma. It's so complicated. It's very complicated to understand the intricacies of this. So we don't have to get into this complexities to get into this, what do you call as a analysis paralysis, to understand exactly what happened, what went wrong or what went good to get this particular result. So thank you very much. We'll stop here. If anybody has any question, forgive me if I spoke anything wrong, or if anybody want to have any comment or correct anything. Yes, Prabhu. We'll limit the question to one or two questions. It's already late. So we will be doing Damodar Aarti, and everybody is, I'm sure everybody is hungry.
And just put the question to me. So Durga Devi basically, the avatar is to destroy the demons.
So Durga Devi, see again, Durga Devi is the superintendent in this material world. So she is punishing the various living entity or rewarding them also. In a jail, if somebody behaves very nicely, even though all are prisoners in the jail, but if somebody is behaving very nicely in the jail, there may be some relaxation for that person. So he may be allowed to come out of his cube and roam freely in the gardens within the cage, within the jail itself. Right? Play around and sit properly, nice properly. On the other side, if somebody within the jail also is not following the rules of the jail, he may be even given stricter punishment. He may be transform from his B grade cell to a D grade cell within that jail. So same way, within this material world, if somebody behaves further degraded, he is punished in that way. So Durga Devi killing the demon also represents something. If somebody is so obnoxious within this jail also, somebody doesn't behave properly, so she is punishing that person, destroying that person or sending him into a lower species of life to further suffer the reactions. Any other question or comment?
I have.
Yes,
please. So we read a verse that we have displayed, chapter 9, where you say Krishna sees everyone very equally. But in Mahabharata also, he is a little partial with Arjuna. He's partial with his devotees.
So, the general principle, what we said is, Krishna says, I envy no one and I favor no one. Right? It's not that I have some personal problem with somebody, that I send that person to perish or to suffer and I have a favor towards somebody. The second part of that is, but as somebody approach me, I reciprocate accordingly. But if somebody is a devotee of Krishna, is reciprocating Krishna in a different, in a pleasant way, so Krishna also reciprocate accordingly. So he is like a loving father. Father may have two children. So one child is very obedient and another child is little troublemaker. So the father, even though he is, both are his children, he is equal to both. He gives them opportunity for growth equally. But then based on their behavior, their reciprocation, he may have a special favor towards somebody. Right? So I gave the example 2 weeks back in Sunday Temple, Sunday Feast, Vijayadashmi lecture. If a father has two children, both are going to the Dashara Mela, he gives $50 to both of them. So one child goes and he just enjoys. He eats all samosa, kachori, jalebi and that and comes, enjoys for himself. The second child, he is thinking of the father. So he goes, enjoys the fair, but he's thinking of father. He gets some gift for father. Comes back home and tells, see, Dad, I brought it for you. So what will father's reaction? See, even though I gave him for enjoy, but he was thinking of me. So he is such a favorable child. So next time he will be more favorable to that person. He may give him extra money. That okay, you go enjoy. So that is the situation of Krishna. He is equal to everybody. He gives equal opportunity for everybody's growth. Everybody has the potential to come to the level of Krishna consciousness. It's not that somebody is doomed to hell forever, that no scope at all to come back to the spiritual world. Everybody has equal potential. But who reciprocate with Krishna, Krishna reciprocates accordingly. Ye yatha mam prapadyante tam satha bhajame ham. Okay? Any other question?
Animals
also has the potential. See, the law of karma acts on human beings. Okay? So next time you see a bird eating the earthworms, don't apply the example of Gandhari on the bird. The animals do not have the law of karma applied to them. It's only for human beings. Because as human, we have a higher consciousness. And we are supposed to understand the laws of God. But animals act based on their natural instinct. They don't have a higher consciousness. They just go, evolve from one species to another. And they come to the life of the platform of human beings. But as human beings, if we don't act properly, we are again sent back into those lower species of life.
Do you think that when you come to spiritual world, you exit based on your ichha and...
Right. So from spiritual world...
And you enter as human and exit as human? I mean, from human and enter as human.
So human life is the best opportunity to elevate to the level of Krishna consciousness. But there has examples in scripture where the lower species of life received special mercy because of which from that platform itself they went back to the spiritual world.
That is the exit part.
Right.
The entry part.
Entry part, we are given various dresses. As I said, there are 8.4 million varieties of dresses. We are given, as a beginning point, we are given a particular dresses based on our desire to enjoy in a particular way.
So when from spiritual world you exit, you either have an ichha or dvesh.
Right.
Based on ichha or dvesh, you exit. At that time, the law of karma doesn't start.
At that time, you get the dress based on your desire to enjoy in a particular way. So like Jay and Vijay, okay? They are the gatekeepers of Vaikuntha, Lord Vishnu. They have the desire to enjoy virya ras with the Lord. Now in Vaikuntha, there can be no fight. So they want to enjoy virya ras. They want to give the pleasure of fighting to Lord. So they come to this material world, okay, you want to give virya ras, enjoy in virya ras. So they are given a particular dress to exchange in that way. So they have to receive a particular as a demonic body, okay, where they can enjoy, give the pleasure of fighting with the Lord. Right? So we are given a dress based on desire. But once we come in this material world, from there the further problems start. Because we keep entangling ourselves further and further and further under the influence of these three modes. But Krishna has given all the arrangement also to come out of this modes, influence of modes also, to come back to the spiritual world also. So we are going to discuss that in the next topic. So the next topic is yoga ladder. The various yoga principles, how to perform a karma, how we can come back to the situation of Krishna consciousness, engaging ourselves in the activities without getting the reaction. Okay, so next topic, we're going to take this particular topic, the yoga ladder. Thank you very much. We'll stop here. It's already quite late. So we'll do Damodar Aarti. Again, thank you very much.